Se om du kan ägna mycket mer uppmärksamhet åt själva görandet än åt det resultat du vill uppnå. Det betyder att du också helt och hållet accepterar det som är. Eftersom du inte kan ägna din fulla uppmärksamhet åt något och samtidigt göra motstånd mot det.
Hej och välkomna till Konsthantverkspodden, poddscenens svar på Lerkvarnen. Idag ska vi prata engelska igen, för vi har med oss ännu en internationell gäst, så håll i er. Today's guest went from fashion photography to baking cakes that challenge what we consider to be art. El Asdari.
I must flag. Förlåt, många säger just fashion photography.
Ja.
My degree is just in fashion photography, men det är inte alls vad jag gjorde.
All right.
Mm. Like I actually worked in like design. And that's it. Like jag ska förklara. Jag vet att även i tidningar har de skrivit fashion photography.
Men det är typ bra att berätta.
Ja, så jag tänkte jag
säger det. Jag tänker att
ja, så att yeah, just sorry.
Absolutely. No. No, it's good. This is good.
So it's also good that you
it's
go
part
against
of the conversation.
Him.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, sort of good.
Yeah, I'll lecture you.
Yeah, for sure. El Asdari, welcome to the studio.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. And I've been doing some research, of course, checking your website mainly and your Instagram feed. And I think you describe yourself as a freelance pastry artist and creator that strives to elevate pastry design to art. Is that kind of...
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
Yes.
But for me, as someone who's like not very well versed in pastry or pastry design, maybe you can help us like unpack that somehow. Like where does your, can you describe where your practice starts?
Sure. I kind of just threw around some really fancy words and came up with the words pastry art. No, Yes, I am a pastry artist currently living and working in Stockholm. My practice is not at all something that I planned on or really strategized, to be honest. It's something that really happened out of a coincidence. So when people ask me this question, I don't really have anything like black on white. It's very haphazard. I kind of found a studio in Årsta and I transformed it into a kitchen. And then I started getting commissions and simply through posting on Instagram, to be honest, things that I was doing. And then the snowball effect happened. And now I'm kind of running a full-fledged studio and creating really fun commissions. So yeah, that's kind of how it came around.
But can I ask, what was the coincidence? You said like it was, but something must have happened.
Oh,
like,
yeah. Sorry, I forgot this massive part. So I actually used to live and work in London for a really long time. And I had a full-on burnout on so many fronts, like emotionally, professionally, physically. I just was wiped. So I actually came back to Sweden. And I was back at my parents. And after 18 years of living abroad, that was just like, whoa. how have I come like full circle? So I decided to take a year and a half off and to just focus on my health and to recover my brain, really. And because I couldn't even read an article, like it was on that level. Completely... like mentally exhausted. And after about a year and a half, it was actually my mother who said, because I was like crying my eyes out and I was like, I don't know what to do with my life. And she was like, well, you've always been really great with creating things with your hands. Why don't you just consider, you know, taking up pastry as a trade? And that way you can live wherever you want in the world and you don't need to be tied onto like a... onto anything, really. It's just, you know, because once you learn the techniques of something, you can really develop that into your own and do what you want to do with it. So I was like, oh, okay, that's not like a half bad idea. I've never baked in my entire life, really. I'm the type who used to dine out like all the time. I use my oven for storage, you know, really silly stuff like that. So I did that actually. I learned how to make pastry.
Where
from
did
scratch.
You? Yeah, like did you learn yourself or?
No, God, no. No, I actually I went to. Oh God. Okay, hang on. So I did a couple of internships, and that's kind of how I got started. And I did. This is really funny. I actually did a month long internship at Francien, which is hilarious for somebody who's never ever worked in a kitchen. Yeah. Clearly, confidence isn't one of my problems. I kind of scored an internship there. And I remember the head of pastry was like, oh my God, you've never worked in a kitchen. And I was like, no, but I'm a really fast learner. And
but how did you manage to get in?
Well, I feel like you got contacts, don't you? So... It's, I just pulled some strings and I was like, this is what I want to do. And I want to start at the top, really naive.
And then you went straight
like,
to the very
really,
top.
Like really, really naive. But I think that's probably the best thing that I've ever done because that experience really taught me how to be incredibly organized in a kitchen. They are so organized and you have to prep so far ahead. And it really... really set the mark for how I work today, to be honest. So I think as much as it was a really strange experience, it was also like one of the best that could have happened to me. We're talking 12-hour days, 20-minute lunch break, trying to get along with people that are very, very different to me and the world that I was used to. It was definitely like a sensory experience, I would say. Yeah.
Yeah.
Would you say that they made art in the restaurant as well?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I feel like that's just culinary arts at large, you know. They're incredibly talented at what they do. I feel like it's just a little bit too restrictive for me and my personality and how I like to work. But yeah, absolutely. They're very skilled at what they do. So after that, I felt like, all right, this is clearly not for me. After my internship at Francien, I went to Kormärkt, which is Donny Roos's patisserie. And I walked in there one day and I was like, hey, I really want you to teach me pastry. And he was like, who the hell are you? And I kind of introduced myself and I was like, listen, I really want to learn this trade. And you're one of the best in the country. And I really would love to... you know, if you could take me on. And he was like, I don't really have any slots at the moment. Come back in like 2-3 months. And I was like, oh, okay, fine. So I went back there in 2-3 months because I'm quite persistent with everything that I do and I don't really give up easily. So I was like, I'm going to learn this. And he took me in and we worked alongside on so many different projects. And he was so generous with his knowledge and taught me so, so much. And it was really a fruitful internship. I was with him for about, I think he offered me a job after like 4 or 5 months or something like that, which I accepted. And then came another wave of COVID. And then the work just became less and less. And then it was kind of time for me to leave, to be honest. So I was with him in its entirety for about a year. And then I was like, okay, cool. I'm just going to do my own thing. So in short, but in long, that's yeah. That's kind of how it all
started.
And then
you got your own studio in Orsta. Or did you have that
yes.
already?
No. Within about 2 weeks, I found a studio. Or my brother found it and he was like, I got you a studio. And I was like, what? I wasn't even looking for one. He's like, well, you are now. And I was like, okay, great. And that's kind of how it started.
Yeah. Can you describe what your studio looks like? Like what do you need to do what it is that you do?
You need equipment, quite a lot of equipment, When I started, I had no idea that this is how much equipment one would need and the price tags that come along with it. but I invested in everything. So I bought myself a really great deep freezer. Without my deep freezer, it's like my prized possession. I couldn't do anything with that because my creations have quite a lot of layers, about 5 to 7 different layers. So I need to create one layer and then freeze it and then create another layer and then freeze it and so forth. So that deep freezer is truly something I cannot live without. And it goes to minus 40, which is like a blessing.
Does that mean that you can do it like quickly?
Yes, exactly. Okay. It means I'll save a lot of time. Yeah. And then a freezer, fridge, airbrush. Again, it's something that I can't really live without. My airbrush unit. So I have that. And then just a lot of surfaces, really, to be able to create the work. And an oven. Mm-hmm. I forgot about that part. So it's not like, and you know, the other mixers and stuff like that, but it's not, those are the big things that I need. Yeah.
So do you now have employees or assistants or people there who helps you?
I take in an assistant when I need, but I feel like it's a skill that's quite difficult to teach people because you also have to have the eye for design. And I feel like a lot of pastry chefs are really great when it comes to, they're really skilled when it comes to techniques and stuff. But when it comes to creativity, something you can train your eye, but it also comes with a lot of experience. And I think the stuff that I do, I think you can quite quickly see that I come from maybe a different background than most pastry chefs, so to speak. So I'm finding it a bit difficult to find somebody who can do exactly what I can do.
So yeah. But would it be different if you would do it in larger amounts or something that you would need another set of hands to just make more, but to do the creative work that you want to do yourself? But would it be a difference if you would scale up the amount of pastries?
Yes. I mean, you can train anything to anyone. Mm-hmm. It just takes time. Mm. And I think it's that's the part that is challenging, to find the time to always spend, you know, teaching somebody else how to do something when you're still trying to figure it out.
Mm-hmm. But actually, I completely understand what you're saying because I'm only doing my stuff myself as well.
Yeah, so it's also like...
It's very difficult.
Yeah, and it's also to be able to give away that control,
exactly.
Which I've become much better at because before I was really bad at that, for sure. But most of all, it's also I'm really missing... And I think I'm used to this living in London. People were so... passionate, that they were so, I'm not saying to work for free at all, but they were willing to stay for hours on end to try and figure something out or try to understand how to do X, Y, and Z. But here I'm really missing that. It's 8 hours and then, mm-hmm. Okay, I gotta go now. And you're like, what? No, we're not finished. So I'm happy to pay, but I really want somebody who is really driven and passionate and who is willing to go the extra mile. And I think that's what's difficult to find sometimes.
Do you find pastry art in London?
Oh, absolutely. I think it exists worldwide, to be honest. Mm. I think everyone just have their way of doing it. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, this, because, okay. What I find interesting in your practice is this ambition to elevate pastry design into an art form or an art context. Can you explain what would that mean? You know, what is the difference between pastry design and pastry art? Is that something that you could put into words, or is it maybe more of a contextual thing?
Yeah, I definitely think, yeah, absolutely contextual, but it's also, when you make something more conceptual, I think that's when you can elevate it. But also, it's not here is a strawberry and I've turned that into an pastry art strawberry. That's not the kind of, because you get plenty of that stuff out there. You can just turn on your Instagram and you see plenty of that.
Yeah, I mean, the most like upfront thing in pastry, I think today is like the, oh, it looks like a cell phone, but it's a
exactly.
cake.
Exactly. That's what I mean. With well, I mean, the strawberry analogy.
It's very far from what you do.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, there's a difference in I don't know, concept there maybe.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like, it depends what your references are and what your point of reference in general is, I think, for anything that you create. And also because of my background, I think in those terms. I think conceptually in general. So it wouldn't be just a cake. It would never be that. To me, it would become a creation.
Where do you get your inspiration from?
Oh, God. This question. It really is from everywhere. But I also think ever since I was a kid, I've been like an encyclopedia. I love anything that's visual, so I'm a bit like a sponge. So I think I've collected a lot throughout the years, and I've always kind of been a collector of stuff in general. But I think a lot of it for me is popular culture, absolutely. It's art movements. It can be my Persian heritage a lot. I find a lot of inspiration there. Various symbolisms, every day, really. I wouldn't say it's necessarily, I get this question a lot and people are like, is it nature? And I'm like, no, it's not. It's not at all, actually. Yeah. I love anything that's fast. Fast, bright, bold, loud, Vegas. Like, yeah.
It feels like Vegas is a very good kind of
artificial
frame of reference. When I look at your creations, it's very clear that you take inspiration from very many different sources, because it is this amalgamation of lots of different expressions. I think my biggest fascination with your work is that the first time I saw it, I had an argument with my friend about if it was...
Because you thought it was AI.
No, yeah, kind of. No, but I saw it for real at Mischiefs. That was the first time I saw it.
Oh, right, yes.
And then I had a half an hour long argument with my friend about if it was actually edible or not.
Was it Amy?
Yes.
That is so funny.
I think maybe that's... For me, that's so fascinating with something that you kind of want it, but you're not sure if you can. And there's some like enticement there. And there's, yeah, that whole world of like, can I or can't I?
Who was right? You were in.
I was wrong.
I just wanted to know.
Well, mind you weren't actually, because the ones that you saw at Mischiefs, they weren't. They're inedible.
Thank you.
No. So they, yeah, they looked mad.
I'd love to hear that.
Well, they actually looked inedible, yeah. But they no. I mean, you could eat them, but they wouldn't taste very good.
Okay.
Because it wasn't supposed to be edible. No. So yeah. It's just a bunch of gelatin and cream. So it wouldn't taste good, but you wouldn't like die from it. Like you're good. You could eat
That's good. No, but that's what I kind of wanted to ask you about. Like, is that something that you work with, this kind of aesthetic where it, because for me, you said AI before, it kind of looks like it's just generated. Mm. It's like somehow it just popped into existence from something. Is that something that you like work with?
Yeah, I mean, it's the same way where people want to create a cake looking like a mobile phone. It's the same thing for me. I like to create things that look quite otherworldly, stuff that really has been created within your imagination. 'Cause it's about escapism at the end of the day, I think. And I'm obsessed with beauty overall. I don't just mean like skin health. I mean like actual everyday beauty. although I'm obsessed with skin stuff too. don't get me wrong, I am Persian after all. And I almost lost my thread there. Yes, no, I like to create things that are very kind of otherworldly. And
where you started to think about
skincare. Yeah, I started thinking about freaking skincare and how like how dry like, I am right now. And I was like, got a busted mouth, the whole thing. Anyway.
Sorry.
It's all good. We need to laugh. Laughter is good. I like to create things that is a bit trippy, that makes you think twice. Or I particularly love when, because I hand deliver everything I do, I refuse to send the courier. Because we all know what's going to happen. Upside down business and drama. No. So I hand deliver everything, which means I spend a lot of time in Ubers. And I love people's reaction when they see, they open the box or the boxes and they're always like, wow. Like I should record this because it's the same reaction every single time. It's really fun. I love that feeling that, you know, to create that excitement within people and within myself. I get off on it very much. Like I like to feel excited. So I need to create things that excite me. Yeah.
Do you feel like you're free when you work with your art, or do you have like someone that orders something for you and say what you are supposed to do, or how does it work with the clients?
Oh no, I don't take briefs really. They tend to come to me and be like, hey, this is our project, or this is how much budget we have, or this is the vibe we're after. But very rarely am I given a proper brief. Yeah, I tend to more come up with a brief. So I'm not very restricted at all, actually. I work a lot on intuition, and I think my branding experience from, you know, my past career really helps here, because I can pretty much quickly just glance at whatever project you're doing or look at your Instagram, and pretty much instantly I get an idea of what you're into or what you like, and I can create something in accordance to that without having to compromise too much on my own, with my own artistry. Yeah.
What does it mean for you that the pieces are eatable? How important is that? Or what does that mean conceptually for you?
Oh, I think it's very important. I can't create things that just look good. I don't have it in me. I'm way too detail oriented for that. They need to taste good. It's one of the things that I'm very adamant about. And I think when you create a sensory experience, if you say that it's beauty encapsulated in a sensory experience, you need to deliver that. And I think it's such an incredible waste otherwise to create these things using edible materials and then for it to just go, you know, into some bin somewhere. So it's very important to me that it's edible and that it tastes good and that people enjoy eating it.
I kind of want to get back to this like elevating into art thought. For Concentrix Podium, we're starting to talk a little bit about like practices that lie on kind of like the boundary between craft and not craft, kind of like. And when I look at your things and when I hear you speak, it's very clear to me that you're a crafts person, kind of. You're like, you like to do the thing, like you like to make the thing. That's also a big part of it for you, right?
Oh God, yeah, I find tremendous joy in that.
And like when you speak about what you find great about your workshop, it's your tools, and like have you had like any thoughts about the craft world? Is that something that you even, like, you've been part of Mischief, so you have like had contact with it, right? Like, is there a,
like, yeah, how do you feel when we call you like a maker, like a craft person?
But I think I'm not particularly into labels. You can call me whatever you fancy. No, it doesn't bother me at all. I think it's fantastic to be able to create things with your hands, and it's something incredibly therapeutic about it. And it's also something beautiful because it's completely one of a kind. No, I don't mind that at all. I see that definitely as craftsmanship for sure. And that is a huge part of what I do. And I have many ideas and plans of how to develop my pastry art into something that's more tangible and long-lasting. Absolutely.
I feel like I keep coming back to, because we recently we had a performance artist on the show, Maya Fredin, and then I said that I think that performance art is like the ultimate craft expression. And I feel like what you do is very, also very performative in
a
way.
It's incredibly performative.
Like both what you make, how you make it, it's like perishableness of the whole thing, and also like that people actually interact in it in an extremely like bodily way. Mm. Like it's not only that you look at it, you can also like, you can, it becomes you, and you
yes,
become it, yeah. Sort of.
That's sort of what you say to a sculpture that you really like. Like, it's so good, I could eat it.
Yeah,
you know,
kind
and,
of.
And you're,
it feels, it feels like it. Very much like this,
maybe we
these
go
worlds are
this.
So
yes.
connected somehow.
Yeah, no, but it is performative. It's, even how you present it becomes very performative. Because I really care about how it's presented. I would never throw it on a table and just with nothing around it and just be like, here, help yourself. No, not at all. I'm very particular about how things are presented as well. So no, it is all from beginning to the end. It's performative for sure. Yeah. And it's quite pure because I think if you want to say food in general is that, isn't it? It's something that you firsthand experience. So it's instant. The minute it hits your mouth, you kind of you have an idea or an opinion about it immediately.
It's a very shared experience as well.
Very,
like the same way that a performance is like you do it, you kind of experience it together with an object. I mean, I'm saying this as a sculptor, so I make objects, but then this is like an inferiority complex that I have. Mm. It's like. The experience is so shared with both performance and with like the culinary art.
Yeah,
somehow.
It is.
Just there's another level to it.
But it's also something that brings people together. Mm. So as much as it is individual, it's also something that definitely brings the people to your yard, isn't it? It really does.
Right.
What are you working on right now?
I am working on quite a lot of projects at the same time because in this city, everybody wants everything all at once. So I am actually currently working on quite interesting briefs, things that are happening in June to things that are happening already next week. I wish I could say more about these things. I'm particularly excited about the one that's happening in June because it's more of a physical space that I'm actually curating and creating. So I'm developing my pastry art into something that's more large scale and more of a sculpture, so to speak.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Can you still eat it?
Parts of it, yes. Yeah, yeah.
It's a gingerbread house.
It's June, come on.
Yeah.
All right. That sounds
a large strawberry, that is something else.
Exactly. You nailed it. No, honestly, I love doing large-scale things. I think I wish I got more of those briefs because they really make my heart skip a beat.
One last question. Do you feel like you have a field that you work within, or do you? Because I don't have very much experience in the pastry world, so I don't know how many people like you there are. I mean, there's of course only one of you, but like how many people are working with like this kind of pastry art thing? Is it a community, or is it like?
I don't tend to look so much for these things, because I think it throws me off.
And you're not on Reddit.
I think
Reddit.
You will automatically start
Are you and Francine friends?
I'm glad that we do completely different things. Yeah, you're funny. I'm like,
we would read between the lines. Yeah.
No, nothing like that at all. I honestly think I don't tend to look so much at what other people are doing, simply because it's not that it's not like, oh, I'm not interested, but I think automatically, subconsciously, you stop perhaps comparing or copying without really thinking about it. So I tend to completely disconnect from whatever community almost I'm a part of. I know that there are individuals who are doing the similar things to what I'm doing, absolutely, in London, New York, Paris, even Amsterdam and other parts of the world. It's not like we sit there and connect and talk about this stuff. So, but there are people that are doing this, absolutely. But I feel like in terms of style-wise, it's very, very different. Thank God.
But I think what you mean is that we are sort of in a craft community and there are venues where we can exhibit. Like there is like
Sammanhang
where we...
Within a context.
Yeah.
I see what you mean. Yeah. In Stockholm, no.
No.
I really would love some healthy competition in this city. And don't get this the wrong way, but what I mean is like you get a lot of skilled pastry chefs, like that, to bridge that food and art, and not just food but pastry. I feel like I would love more people doing that here, because as I said I know of the ones in London or New York, but this is where I am at the moment. So yeah, there's definitely a community. I've just, ever since I was a kid, I've never had a tribe. I don't cling on to these things. I'm a floater. I always have been. Yeah, always. And I probably will continue to. But I love that you have these communities. I think I just go in and out of them. And I much
more
prefer...
That's a very nice ending, isn't
it? Sorry, what's that?
It's a good note to end on, maybe.
Yeah, it's a good note to end on.
But also, aside from this, I actually find it more interesting to connect with people that don't do what I do. And so you can get that collaboration with other people who do maybe video or they painting. It's something completely different than what I do.
Right.
Yeah. Much more interesting.
I agree.
All right. El Asdari, thank you so much for coming here today and sharing your experiences and processes.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Konsthantverkspodden görs av mig, Petter Odiner, Lisa Maria Pettersson, Ida Netteberg och Evelina Dåsten i samarbete med Konsthantverkscentrum och med stöd från Kulturrådet. Ljudet görs av Eminenta Umami Produktion. Musiken görs av Karin Fjellman Dåsten. Tack igen, El. Och tack till alla er som lyssnade. Håll öronen öppna så hörs vi. Hej då!
Hello.